Scripture reading this morning will be Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through verse 38. Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, one of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's very good to see everybody with us today. Very much so. I may not make the mistake of saying this is the evening versus the morning, but I will say there may be something I may say that may be amiss this morning. I will tell you that some of you probably know that I probably did one of the hardest things that a man could ever do yesterday, and that was to give away his daughter in marriage. But not only that, I wanted to let you know that there was a letter that both the boy that she married and she herself wrote to their parents. Our daughter wrote a letter to both my wife and I. And the gentleman that received us as we were coming down the aisle read this letter. After that, he turned the service over to me. I mean, right after that. And you can just about imagine what I was like, what condition I was in. And that was a very interesting moment, I should say, very trying moment. Therefore, if somewhere along the way I have to pause, then please be patient with me and I'll try to catch up to where I need to be. But all that being said, we, Diane and I both want to thank those of you that are here for the generosity and kindness that you've shown to both our son-in-law now, not future anymore, son-in-law and our daughter, and the things that you've done for them and your kindness and your gift to them, that is something that they are very grateful for, and they express that through us to you for what you've done for them. I want to ask, first of all, to say to all your mothers, I pray that your day is well, and your future days will be good. But I do want to ask you a question. How much do you believe a mother is worth? There has been a statistic that's been put out by a private financial service group that says a mother is worth $641,900. And I bet some of you mothers didn't know you're worth that much. I bet you didn't. I bet you're wondering, you're going to really want to get paid after this is over. For sure. But I'm sure you probably wonder, how in the world they come up with all that information? Well, they figured out that they have taken the total pay, a total of the average pay of about 17 occupations that normally is characteristic of what a mother does. That's how they came up with $641,900. Amazing, isn't it? You probably have read and seen many writings of people who have addressed how valuable a mother is. One person stated this way, "No nation is ever greater than its mothers, for they are all makers of men. God can be everywhere at the same time, so he made mothers. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. All that I am and ever will be, I owe to my mother." Then I think there's one in the scripture even talks about that is mentioned in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. A worthy woman, who can find? Her price is far above rubies. To know how much she is worth, he makes a comparison about her and the price of rubies. Far above that. But then when you go on later in the same chapter, in chapter 31, there's something it says in verse 29. It says, she excels them all. Why is she worth so much? Because she excels all those. And if you notice from verse 10 all the way down to the end of the chapter, you will see how valuable that woman is. There's no woman in the world worth more than that woman right there. Then when you look at the one that Kurt read just a minute ago in the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 38, verse 26 to 38, and it continues on, how much is the mother of Jesus worth? Some of you may believe that she is worth more than any other mother in the world, even the one in the book of Proverbs chapter 31, because she is the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not so much that she's the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes her a valuable mother. If you notice something in verse 38, it says, she says, regarding herself, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. That's what makes her so valuable. Is her attitude and her disposition and her spirit toward what it is that God is wanting her to be. If you notice in the same chapter, verse 45, when Elizabeth, she meets her, then she is to give birth to John the Baptist. But before that happens, she extols the blessings of God upon her, upon Mary, and says in verse 45, and blessed is she that believes, for there shall be fulfillment of the things which the Lord has spoken concerning her. What makes this woman valuable, Mary that is her belief. That's what really makes her worth more than anything else in the world. Not so much that she's just the mother of Jesus. The belief of this woman goes on in chapter 1, verse 46, where Mary says, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he looked upon the low estate of his handmaid, for behold, from thenceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is unto generations and generations, on them that fear him. Amazing what she recognizes about God. It's a matter of she delivering to us and to all of you mothers a very simple thing, and that is, what makes a woman as a mother so valuable? It's her belief and it's her service to God. All mothers need to listen to what Mary's doing here and what she's saying. She believes God has given her the capability to be a mother. She is created for that purpose and for that very thing. He's given her the opportunity to have a child. She's given her this very great responsibility to be a mother that no other person in the world could do. God has given her the burden. She's given her the heart. He has given her the ability to be the mother that no one else can fulfill. Every mother needs to see what it is that Mary's saying. She believes what God's telling her. This is what makes her worth more than any other woman in the world. From what you see, what this woman says in the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 38, verse 35, 445, God is saying something to her that Mary says, I want to be just what God wants me to be. She wants to be what God says she is going to be. Not just so the mother of Jesus Christ, but the fact that she's going to be a mother. That through what she does in giving birth to this son, that person is going to be a blessing to the people. Hannah felt in essence the very same way. Because of the fact that she was barren, she prayed to God that she would have a child. As a result of that, Hannah said, I'll give this child to you so that he will be a blessing to the name of God. Same thing's true with what Mary says here in the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 38 and onward down to verse 50. This belief that this woman had is so similar to what Eunice had with her disposition and attitude in the life of a man by the name of Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, I want you to notice something in verse 5. But the end of the charge is a love out of a pure heart and a faith unfeigned. Excuse me, chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Having been reminded of the unfaith faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded also in thee, for which cause I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, through the laying on of hands. For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. Then he said in verse 8, be not ashamed. Why is it that you mothers need the belief in God? Why do you need this kind of faith? It's going to be very important that you have that so that it penetrates the hearts of the people that you live with. Eunice saw that very thing. Eunice understood that very thing. If the faith that she had was not established within her heart, how in the world was it going to be established within the heart of her son Timothy? One of the things that characterizes her faith is that word unfeigned, which is also a word that means genuine. This is not something that puts on a show in front of everybody else. This is not something that makes it look good so that every son or every daughter will say, well, my mother goes to church. Or my mother believes this. If she believes it, then it's good enough for me. This is something that is genuine. It meets what she says. It meets what she does. It meets the way she dresses. It meets her attitude. It meets everything about her. What she believes goes right along with everything she does. And if her son or daughter came up and asked her, why is she believes what she believes? Why is you doing what you're doing? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, verse 5 tells that very well. It says she's got an answer for her faith. She really does believe what she's saying. She's learning from God what it is a mother ought to be. And she's relaying this faith to her children so that they will be not what she wants them to be, but what God wants them to be. If you notice a little bit further on in the book of 2 Timothy, how this plays itself out. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, or really verse 14, Paul says to Timothy, but abide thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them. Now that could go from God also to their mother, to his mother. But then verse 15 says, and that from a babe you have known the sacred writing which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Every mother ought to understand, for this ability to believe, for your children to believe and serve God, you've got to have it first. Then you relay the same information to them so that they will have it. How, at what point in time do you do this? Well, you do it very early. That's what you get out of the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, verse 15. From a babe, thou hast known the sacred writings which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You learn really, really young as a mother that these things need to be taught to that child. How in the world is Timothy going to know what it is that God wants him to be? What it's going to take a mother that knows what God wants her to be. That way she can relay the same information to their son or daughter, whatever the case may be, so that he will learn to be in the eyes of God what God wants him to be. And if you remember 2 or 3 weeks ago, when we talked about having a spiritual family, I'm sure all of you mothers remember the very last point that I made, and that is what you want your child to do is learn to respond to God and not to you. There's something else that goes along with what Mary did here in the book of Luke chapter 1 that I think is very, very important, and that is her fear only of God. As I read to you a while ago in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 7, it talks about how it is, for God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but a power, love, and discipline. For all of you mothers, I want you to understand the spirit that God gave you versus the spirit that God did not give you. God did not give you a spirit of fear. He did give you a spirit of fear of God, but not a fear of the world. The spirit that God gave you as a mother is the same spirit that God gives all of us. A spirit of power and love and discipline. God gave the attitudes that every mother needs so that her family turns out to be the way God wants that family to be. I think it's so important that you understand that your heart doesn't need to be troubled. Jesus talked to the disciples about that in John chapter 14, verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 27. Your heart doesn't need to be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And the belief of God is the first point that we even talked about this morning. You believe in God, believe in me. Don't be troubled. There's no buts to this. There's no excuses to this. But I want you to notice this. With Mary in the book of Luke chapter 1. If you go back to the passage that we started with in Luke chapter 1, notice in verse 30. When the angel of the Lord came to her, the first thing the angel said was, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Don't fear. Whenever a mother's in favor with God, what does she have to fear? What does she have to fear? But I will say that of all people, mothers do have the tendency to fear more than any other people in the world. They fear what might happen to their children. They fear what might happen to their family. In the book of Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Not the fear of the world. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. As a result of that, that fear of the Lord will lead a mother to learn what it takes to hate evil and deliver their own children and their family from that same evil. That fear of the Lord is going to understand exactly what it means to flee the things that are wrong and get away from all that. And they're going to be wise enough to do whatever they can to remove all the ungodliness that is possible from their family, from their children, because they don't want that in their life. They don't want that penetrating their heart. Therefore, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then therefore there's no need for a woman to fear, except fear God. Except fear God. There's something that the psalmist said in the book of Psalms 34, verse 7. "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers thee." And mothers, that holds true for you. The fear of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. And if there's any one woman that needs to know that, a mother needs to know that. Let me ask all of you mothers this. What would it be like if you, instead of fearing the Lord, you feared the times that we're living in and all the corruption and the evil and the ungodliness that's all everywhere, the wickedness? If you spent more time, let's just say this. Let's say Timothy's mother, Eunice, spent more time dealing with the fear that she had of all the ungodliness and corruption that was going on in the city in which they lived. What do you suppose would have been the spirit and the attitude and the conduct of Timothy? He would have been afraid too. He'd have been afraid too. The more you fear about the times, and the more you state to your children, "I'm afraid for you," either directly, indirect way, you end up with it, then they're going to have that same kind of fear, and they're going to have it. The fear of the times, it's what causes you as a mother to do nothing. The fear of the times is what causes you as a mother to compromise. Sometimes the fear of the times, rather than the fear of the Lord, may be just one of those times that causes you to be one who denies that there's anything wrong. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And if you're the mother, and I say this probably without a doubt of what the answer will be, if you're a mother who loves your children, what does the Scriptures teach? 1 John 4, verse 19. Perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4, 18, rather. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Love for God, more than the love of the world, it helps define where our fear ought to be. And every mother needs to see that. Every mother needs to believe and serve. Every mother needs to have only the fear of God. And every mother needs to speak the language of God. And here's the way that works. In the book of Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through verse 5, you will notice something that is stated regarding the older women teaching the younger women. He says, "The aged women likewise be reverent in demeanor, not slanderers, nor enslaved to much wine, teachers of that which is good." Every mother, at some point in time that's young, needs to be observant and listen to the teaching of an older mother. Take heed to what it is she's talking to you about. But for every younger mother and every older mother, do you know how that ever happens? How those two people get together? It takes time. It takes time for those two things, for that very thing to happen. Therefore, you got to take the time to learn. You got to take the time to know what it takes to be the mother that God wants you to be. The reason so many mothers fail to learn, fail to know, fail to understand what it is that God wants them to be is they don't take the time to be, to learn, to understand, to know. If you do, then you would know exactly what a mother is supposed to be in verse 4. Train the young women to love their husbands, love their children, be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's what you learn. Do you know what that is? That's speaking the language of God. Whenever you become a woman, like verse 3 through verse 5 talks about, every mother becomes that woman, then they speak the language of God. But how do you suppose you're going to be able to do that? In what you say as well as what you do. The only way you're going to be able to speak the language of God is to think the language of God. Which is like Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 says, pure, honest, true, just, a good report. Every mother needs to speak the language of God. And that takes a woman who believes in God and serves God and fears God only. I wonder how many mothers in this room this morning speak the language of God regarding humility. There are, estimates are, over 3,600 books out there on giving all people tips on how to succeed. All kinds of principles and tips how to succeed. It's also been estimated that there's only about 75 books that address the idea of humility. One of which is the Scripture. But what kind of language is it that you as a mother speak? Is it more based upon succeeding? Or is it more based upon humility and service? What kind of language do you speak? Is it the same kind of language that God speaks? Let's just talk about it. Mothers, just a minute. When it comes down to the idea of mercy that this book talks about, how long has it been since you talked mercy and spoke that language of God regarding something going on in your own family? Will you speak mercy to a child who comes up to you someday or has come up to you and said, I'm pregnant, and they're not even married? Can you speak the language of God? When it comes down to the idea of mercy, and when your husband comes to you and he tells you he's lied to you, can you speak mercy to another Christian woman showing compassion and concern and interest in her life when everybody else in her family opposes her and criticizes her? Again, can you speak this language here? Can you speak the language of God? Can you speak that mercy? And in two, can you speak the truth? The Bible talks about in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, 4, verse 29, let your speech be the grace. Excuse me, Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech be the grace seasoned with salt. The speech that you speak as a mother should be the one in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 that edifies and builds up and gives grace to those that hear. Gives grace to those that hear. Let's just face it, moms. You must understand that the language that you speak in word or a deed is a language that is going to be, in many cases, mimicked and imitated in the people that are in your house. Some of you may remember a lady by the name of Christy Cook, who was the American Idol winner back in 2008, who sang a song, Like My Mother Does. Throughout the song, it addresses the idea of what it would be that a mother does, she becomes. Like, for example, she says, I've got her spirit, and she's always got my back. When I look at her, I want to be just like that. When I love, I give it all I got, like my mother does. When I'm scared, I bow my head and pray, like my mother does. When I feel weak and unpretty, and I know I'm beautiful and strong because I see myself, like my mother does. She sees everybody for who they really are. I'm so thankful for her guidance. She's helped me get this far. When I love, I give it all I got, like my mother does. That's why it's so important that you believe and serve God as a mother. That's why it's so important as a mother that you fear God only. That's why it's so important that you speak the language of God. Then I think it would be very important for you to think about this. As a mother, that you can obtain the favor of God. And this goes back to the book of Luke chapter 1 again, is the verse that I had previously mentioned. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And I want you to notice something here that's very interesting. It's very interesting to me how that she is addressed by the angel in verse 30 and says, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now, the question is, what is it that makes her come to the point where she is found in favor with God in the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 28, as well as in verse 30? Verse 28 says, she is hailed, thou art highly favored. Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. How does a woman get to be that favored and that highly favored by God? Well, she's got to have done some extraordinary thing. She's got to have achieved some wonderful event in life. She's got to have accomplished something with her beauty or her attractiveness. Something about her just really gazed out there that God says, you excel them all. I mean, you're better than any other woman I could have found. But when you think about it, she hasn't accomplished very much in this world. She's not accomplished a whole lot from the physical standard of life. And that's probably what makes her extraordinary. If she is one that favors God, she is one that is doing everything she can to be pure and humble and believing. In other words, it's the idea of the godliness is what's highly favored with God in this matter. Being what it is that God wants her to be, a mother, as a wife, as everything she needs to be. That's what's going to gain her favor. Mothers obtain favor by God not because they bring their child to a class, not because they have so many children, not because they work so hard for so long a time, but it's because they become pure and humble and believing. It's how they've appeared to God, not how they've appeared to everybody else. Mary was an ordinary, we might say, and I use that very loosely in quotes, ordinary woman. But I will say this, she was a very extraordinary woman. That is what gives her life significance. That's what makes her become to be what she was. Most women think that they've got to be the woman who does the extraordinary things. You can debate the idea of whether mothers were wired by God to be multitaskers. You can debate that all you want to. But the extraordinary things that a woman does in life to achieve so much, that's not so much the important thing as that is she's becoming to be called by God. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says something very profound when he says, behold your calling in verse 26. And for all you mothers, I think this might very well be applicable. That not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God chose the foolish things of the world that He might put to shame them that are wise. And God chose the weak things of the world that He might put to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world and things that are despised did God choose. Yea, and the things that are not, that He might bring to naught the things that are. that no flesh should glory before God. Some woman might think that the thing that she was called to do was be an owner of a company. Or be a public speaker for thousands of women. Or places all across the country. To have a name etched in stone somewhere that people look at and say, this woman has achieved this, this, and this, and this. But this woman, called Mary, what makes her extraordinary is her humility and her service and answering the call of God to be the mother. To be the mother of the Son of God. To really gain the favor of God, it's not because you do the extraordinary things, the real great achievements, people would say. And I would say some of you mothers probably think that when you get up every morning and you start washing clothes and you change diapers and you do some of the same old housework over and over again, and you work maybe a 15 or 20 hour week job part-time at Walmart, that maybe that's your calling. If you look at what goes on with this mother right here in the New Testament, you will see how favored she is by God just because she believes and serves God as a mom. And that's what brings her the greatest significance in the world, is to be the mom that God wanted her to be. And here's the amazing thing about Mary. In verse 34 of the book of Luke chapter 1, she, after she's told about what's going to happen, Mary says, well, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And let me just address the first part of that. We know the answer to that question, because physically, a child's not going to be born. But yet, the angel says unto her in verse 35, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which is begotten shall be called the Son of God. To be the woman as a mother you should be, what you need to be doing is answering the call of the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit reveals for you to, as a mother to be. Yes, there's a lot of physical connection into being a mother, for sure. But then when Mary asked of her, how is this going to be? Think about how is it that you can be a woman as a mother that's being found in faith with God? Because let's just face it, there's a lot of women out here that all they want to do is just have a baby. And they can go all through their life and be willing to become pregnant. But how many mothers are really willing to answer the call of the Holy Spirit to serve the God that made them and made their baby, and that can make their home what it ought to be? And that mother wants that home to be what it ought to be. That's the mother that Mary's going to be. Except motherhood, but she wants to be what God wants to be. She seeks what the Lord wishes for her. That's how she's become to be in favor with the with God, not the world. She listens very carefully to what it is that God wants her to be. What is most interesting here, most mothers may think that God favors them when they have a child. But do you realize, before this woman even has a child, she is found in favor with God? Because it says in Luke 1 verse 28 and Luke 1 verse 30, she is found in favor with God before the baby is ever born or ever conceived. What that means is, for all of you mothers out here, is this. To be found in favor with God, you must understand how it is that you must believe and serve God. You be what God wants you to be. And then you fear only God. And you speak the language of God. Therefore, as a result of that, God will be one who favors you. He favors you because of your commitment and belief in the Lord. And what He wants you to be. And Mary, of all things, in verse 38, she comes along and says, I'm available. I'm available to be what it is you want me to be. Behold, the hand of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Let it be to me just exactly the way you want it to be. the way in which Mary was able to obtain the favor of God is because she surrendered her heart to God. She surrendered her heart to Him. That is so crucial. That is so critical. If a woman that's here today is a woman that wants to be what God wants her to be as a mother, she must first be toward God what she needs to be. She's got to be interested in that first before the idea of really being the mother she needs to be ever happens. And there may be some mothers that are saying, well, I really need to change things. And I want you to know something about this God that Mary believed in, that Mary also was willing to serve. And that is, He is a redemptive God. He can change things. Change things about you that can allow you to be what the woman you need to be before Him. And He can change the way that you become to be the mother you need to be before Him. God gives you the ability to be a mother. He gives you a responsibility to be a mother. He gives you this opportunity to be a mother. But then, He's also the one that can change into you to be the mother that you need to be. There are so many lessons that a mother can learn from so many women in the Scriptures. Mary is a great one. And I hope all of you mothers learn from her. One of the things that Jesus said about learning is to come to Me. In the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart." Learn of the Lord. As you learn of the Lord, it's just like the case with the eunuch. He learned of the Lord after Philip sat down and talked to him, and then they saw the water and said, "Here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" If there's any one thing that your family needs for you to be, is a baptized believer, a Christian, as a mother. And be the mother you need to be. Maybe you've made mistakes. You know you need to change. That redemptive God provides for you a way of pardon. Your confession of your sins and your prayer to God for forgiveness will remove that. And it will give you the courage and strength to not have a spirit of fear, but a power and love and discipline. That's the God you need to come to. Do what's right. Why together we serve.